Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
SummerSlam will be WWE's biggest event of 2021, headlined by megastar John Cena versus WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns. It's live from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on Saturday, August 21st, and Barstool is going to be all over it. You're going to get full coverage, interviews, access over the next 2 weeks, so stay tuned. If you can meet up with some of us in Vegas, it's going to be a party. Book your flights, buy your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. If you want to check it out at home, SummerSlam will stream live Saturday, August 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Peacock.
My boss hit my line with an angry text saying something about B90X. I said, wrestling. Well, I'm going to wrestling. Then my phone blew up with a couple alarms. I got bets to make. I got worms to farm. I said, wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. I'm a wrestling son of a bitch from a worm farm down on the Mississippi. And if you got a problem with the way I live, you could catch a chest chop then a super kick. Yeah, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
All right, welcome into wrestling. Am I the only one, or does when a big-time pay-per-view come around, my interest for wrestling just spikes, just kind of skyrockets? No, I like the monthly stuff. I love the money in the banks that we get. I love when there's good shows, but there's something about when they get a main event right, when WWE gets a main event right with John Cena and Roman Reigns, when you get John Cena at the height of his, when you get Roman Reigns at the height of his powers, you get John Cena coming back. My goodness, you get Vegas, you get a stadium, you get everything right. It just got me going, man. I'm just ready for SummerSlam. I'm in that mood. You guys are like me. This is a podcast by fan for a fan. So I'm just a fan. I'm not Meltzer out here breaking news and being negative. I'm not Sean Ross Sapp just becoming the new breaking news guy all of a sudden. I'm not Conrad Thompson with a podcast army of legends. I am Brandon Walker, who watches this and reacts to it. And I just love the energy in wrestling right now. I know it's counter to some of the things that are going on in wrestling right now, but you're probably tired of being beat over the head with that. I'm going to talk about the releases in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt. We got AEW starting a new show this week. We got so much happening. But before I get into everything, and let me lay it out real quick. On this show, not going to be a We Just Made the List. I just ran into some college football problems. I'm prepping some shows there. I got something else coming down the pipe very, very soon. So I got a lot going on. So I didn't have a list, but I think I'm going to replace it capably because I got the boss. I got the legit boss. There's a reason we had to record late today, because Sasha Banks was coming. I have Sasha Banks 30 minutes on this show. We just talked to her. A delight, a wonder. Everything that you think about Sasha Banks is true. I've said on the show before, right? People have come at me for this take. I think Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in the world. I am sitting here right now. I think Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in the world. I think she makes her stuff real. I think she, the stories that she crafts, and then she gets in the ring and she just, she bumps. She does everything. It looks like $1 million. I think she's fantastic. And she's on the show today. We're going to talk to her ahead of her rematch with Bianca Belair at SummerSlam in Vegas, August 21st on Peacock. So we got that going on. We also had some voicemails. We might have some returning superstars in the voicemails. There's no telling what all we got. Anyway, before I get to all the news and the stuff that's going to piss me off. Hi, I'm Brandon Walker. I think I haven't introduced myself. Before I get to that, I got to say, whenever we get to a big pay-per-view, right? Let's say we're leading up, it's January, and we're leading up to the Rumble. I use the WWE Network to just go through the history of the Rumbles. I use the, now it's on Peacock, of course. But this SummerSlam rewatch for me has been delightful. I have been just really, SummerSlam is a pay-per-view that has delivered so often and at every level. And that's a very important distinction. At every level, it has had openers that are great. It has had IC title matches. I think SummerSlam takes a backseat to nobody when it comes to Intercontinental title matches. You got Bret and Davey. You've got all kind of your Bret and Perfect. You've got all kind of fun stuff like Warrior and Honky Tonk, the first one, the surprise there. You've got Rude and Warrior at 89. I haven't even gotten past 92 yet. And this is how good the IC level matches, the tag matches. Early on, you had the Hart Foundation and Arn and Tully, and then in 2000, you had the TLC 2 there, like tag matches, and then the world title matches. You had Edge, Undertaker. You had Cena's had some great matches. Lesnar's had some great matches with Punk. You had Daniel Bryan, Cena. Through every level, SummerSlam's always been a treat, and I've just been watching. I've got stuck. I watched 96 SummerSlam the other day, and it doesn't stand out as like an elite SummerSlam, but like Shawn was at the height of his powers, and Vader was this unstoppable monster. It's just fun. SummerSlam is always a fun show, and it really, it's like they get through Mania, and then they start rebuilding towards SummerSlam, and it's always interesting because it's always the show that they thought, okay, this is our second biggest card we can put on this year, but it often ends up being the first. And this year is no exception. I do not want to shout down what we got at WrestleMania 37 this year. I mean, they did their best, still in a pandemic. They did their best with the weather, and it was a good show. I think the Sasha-Bianca match was great. I think other matches were very, very good. But ultimately, this card's better. SummerSlam's better. And I'm so excited. Seth Rollins, Edge. You've got the women's match, the rematch of Sasha and Bianca. You got Lashley, Goldberg. There's so much on the card that is going to be fantastic. I can't wait, and I'm giddy about it. I'm sure talking about some of the other subjects will get me not giddy about it. However, before we get to Sasha, before we get to our voicemails, before we get to everything else, I got to say this. I have never been more right about a take than I have last week when I told you on the show. I was nervous to give the take. I was nervous to say it. I was nervous to come out and say, guys, I don't think Bray Wyatt was released. I was very nervous about it. I didn't want to say it, but my wrestling spidey senses were going crazy. I was like, this feels very wrestling-y. And I said it on the show that when Bray Wyatt got released famously a couple weeks ago, it didn't add up to me. They released him with his character name. They didn't like some. It just didn't feel right. They did it on a Saturday. Like it felt prepackaged and all that. And now as we go forward, and Bray Wyatt's tweeting out the. By the way, he's still WWE Bray Wyatt on Twitter, and he's tweeting out these cryptic clues. You can't kill what isn't dead. You know, these weird clues. I think SummerSlam we see the Fiend come back. I don't think the Fiend has been released. Bray Wyatt might have been released. I don't think the Fiend's been released. So there's that. I'm real happy this week as AEW really needs to start ramping up its march towards All Out, which is September 5th in Chicago. And they're going to do it by, they've got a new show this week, Rampage, which is on Friday on TBS. And then next week they've got Rampage at the United Center in Chicago, which is First Dance. And we all assume we might see CM Punk that night. So AEW is lining up. And I still think it's going to be Hangman Page against Kenny Omega at All Out. I really do. And I think they threw us a curveball because they had so many guys coming in. They got the Daniel Bryan rumors. They got all this. They got all that going on. I think we're heading towards Hangman Page against Kenny Omega at All Out. But they got to start arranging their card, and it's an exciting time. You got the Labors of Jericho. I assume we're going to get MJF Jericho at All Out. I assume it might be for Jericho's career. All Out's going to be loaded. I want to say one thing about AEW. Boy, man. That Malakai Black beatdown he put on Cody Rhodes, impressive. I was never an Aleister Black guy in NXT or WWE. I really wasn't. I appreciated him. My favorite match he ever had was against Velveteen Dream at I think 2017, a takeover, when he refused to say his name and then finally did. I thought that was great. But I never really got into him that much. I just don't like characters, those dark characters, those occult characters. I don't really get into them, which is fine. Different strokes for different folks. But he's got something here. The look, the decisiveness of his moves, the coming in with a plan and taking out Cody Rhodes doing the fake retirement, and then Malakai Black laying him out with a crutch. I think they got something. I think that's hot. That is very, very hot. And I'm as interested in Malakai Black as I've ever been in my life. So AEW, all passing marks. I'm real happy with where they are. Let's talk about WWE. Because there's a lot of things going around about WWE that I just don't agree with. And I never will. I've never gotten the hang of being an online fan. And I've never gotten the hang of just hating everything. And I won't do it. And I won't do it now. The other day, I think Friday, maybe Saturday, we found out that WWE or NXT was releasing a ton of people. Jake Atlas, Bronson Reed. You've seen the list. I could just go down the list over and over and over. I mean, there were 30 names on the list. They released a ton of people, developmental people, but mostly from NXT. And the reaction online always confuses me, but this one really befuddled me. Now, Bronson Reed, I can't really answer to you. I mean, they were pushing him. He's a big guy. He's an interesting look. Seemed like they could have mined something out of there. Seems like they could have figured something out, but they didn't, and they released him. So it appears that NXT is being gutted. The NXT is being changed. The NXT is being rewired. If any of that's the case, I don't know it. I'll find out when it's on TV. But people act like Vince McMahon is evil or stupid for releasing these people. Because we have read reports that these releases didn't come from Triple H, who's in charge of NXT, came straight from Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon. Now, these are reports that the releases came from there. People say Vince McMahon is stupid. He's lost his touch. This is a mistake. He's evil. You can't release all these people. When did we become such great big bitches? When did we become so sensitive about everything? The wrestling business, and I'm not in it, the wrestling business is hard, very hard. To be able to entertain using your body like that is tough, and to be able to be deemed as entertaining is very tough. It's just want to see how I want to say this. Vince McMahon's not stupid. Vince McMahon runs a business. It is a business. We watch it for fun. We watch it for pleasure. We assume the entertainers are doing it for fun and pleasure. They're doing it for a paycheck. They get fun and pleasure out of it, but ultimately, they put it on TV. The camera guys are there. It is broadcast to us because it's a business. They want our money. They want our money. And anything that will get our money out of our pocket and into theirs is what they will do. Now, that's how the world works. That's how airlines work. That's how trains work. That's how sports work. That's how everything works. It's about taking your money and putting it in their pocket. Fine, that's good. But fans, we got to look at it as a business. When 30 people get released, it's not because they don't like them. It's not because they want them to be poor. It's not because they think they're bad people. It's because they don't think as businessmen, there's a lot of money to be made in these people. And that's okay. That's okay. Quit taking it so goddamn personally. Quit taking it so sensitively. Yeah. You think this guy had a potential. Guess what? If he had a potential, he'll go find it somewhere else. He'll go to AEW. He'll go to Japan. He'll go find it. The cream always rises to the top. It never doesn't, okay? Ever. And this narrative that, oh, Vince McMahon is stupid. He's lost it. He's a senile old man. In football right now, you got Tom Brady. He's got 7 Super Bowls. He's the GOAT. In basketball, you got Michael Jordan, the GOAT. You got Wayne Gretzky, the GOAT. There's never been a human being in the world of sports or entertainment that is more the GOAT in what they do than Vince McMahon. When it comes to promoting a wrestling promotion, he is the GOAT, and there isn't a number 2, number 3, all the way up to like 5,000. He is that far ahead of everybody else who's ever done this. He's the greatest businessman that ever produced wrestling. He has built a company that has dwarfed anything that's ever existed in wrestling. The guy isn't an idiot no matter what the people online want to tell you. He just isn't. Stop being so sensitive. The guy's a good businessman. Is he a good person? I have no idea. I never met him. I've never been to Rotary Club with him. We don't share dinner. I don't know if he's a good person or not. Guess what? I also don't care. I want to take my wallet out. I want to give them some money, and I want them to give me entertaining product. And if they think they got to release somebody to do that, if they think they got to promote somebody to do that, then fucking do it. Fucking do it. Now, I will say that it appears that Vince wants NXT to revert back to what it was originally, developmental. He wants it to be purely developmental, and he wants bigger guys. He wants showier guys. He wants, you know, the spectacle. He wants the eye poppers. And I say that. These are based on reports. I feel like NXT's been very good. People act like NXT lost the war to AEW. It didn't. We all won the war. We all got to see good wrestling on Wednesday nights. Now we get to see it on Tuesday nights. NXT is a very good product. Occasionally, you have to change. Occasionally, Tiger Woods drives one a little bit off the fairway and has to get back in the fairway. Occasionally. Doesn't mean he's not going to birdie the hole. Doesn't mean he's not going to win the tournament. NXT is still NXT. It's a strong brand. If they pivot back to developmental a little bit, good, fine, develop them. Because Vince and these guys don't view NXT superstars like we view them. We get attached to them. We love them. We want them to succeed. When they become NXT champion, we just assume they can be WWE champion. It doesn't always work like that. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't, all right? You know, an A student in high school isn't always an A student in college. They're just different ways of learning. I love NXT. If they revamp it to developmental, that's good. That's what it originally was. I'm not going to hate on anybody in NXT. I'm not going to hate on Bobby Fish, who got released. I just think these are things that happen. But when these things happen these days in wrestling, we act like it has never happened in human history before. This is the first guy that ever got released. Vince McMahon is senile. He's stupid. I can't wait for him to die. If you've ever said that, if you've ever thought that, if you ever read that and didn't close the page immediately, shut up. Relax. Chill out. This is supposed to be entertaining. You don't have to live and die with this shit. I don't understand it. Anyway, I'm not trying to preach. I think I did preach there. I got preachy.
I have a question.
What? Fucking what?
You might be able to help me. This isn't from going online or reading on Twitter.
Keep going.
But do you think that he's possibly cutting some of these
contracts? No, I don't. To sell the company, yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
To bring in someone bigger that we're not talking about.
I don't think that. Because I think they got the money, right? I think they got the money. I do think Adam Cole's about to get the promotion. I think Adam Cole, 4 years in NXT is enough. It's time to come up. I do think NXT lost the plot a little bit, whereas you had guys get there and stop. And I don't think that's what Vince wanted. I think Vince wanted to churn people through and deliver him finished products. And I just think, you know, people stopping there is something that kind of slowed the machine down. It's still been great when they stopped. Like, you had guys like Ciampa and Johnny Gargano just giving great, 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 great matches. But I just think they're rewiring a little bit. I don't think they're changing much of anything. I hope not, because I think Triple H has shown the ability to be an incredible promoter of NXT and gives the fans a great product. We'll see what it has in store. We'll see what it has in store. I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. Ari, you're looking forward to your cousin's wedding, I'm sure.
Yes, very much so.
Unbelievable. I got to go out there with Dan Vollmeyer.
I'm sorry.
By the way, speaking of wrestling, I want to thank you guys who listen to the show. Because you listen, because you support Barstool, because you support me, I get to do dream things. I get to do things to try to entertain you guys. Thursday, me and Aria, we're going to Stamford. We're going to Stamford, Connecticut. We're going to the fucking warehouse.
It's
going to
be awesome.
We're going. Me and Robbie Fox, we're carrying all the boys. All the kids are going. We're going to the warehouse in Stamford. And another thing I want to thank you guys for, you support me, and I get to get guests because of that. And I brought Sasha Banks in today, and we'll talk to her in just a second. When I had kids, I had a girl, and then I had three boys. And I thought, boy, when my boys get about 5 or 6 years old, we're going to go to wrestling shows. We're going to see wrestling. It's going to be great. We're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. Didn't really happen with the boys. Never really got into it. Now, John's only 5, size 8, and then Tommy's 10, 11 now. But they just don't get into it. They like Roblox. They like Minecraft. They like all this stuff. My 12-year-old girl, who I didn't think was going to like it, loves it. Loves it. I've said that to Drew before. And today, Sasha was coming in, so I brought my girl in. I didn't tell her who it was. I know Sasha's one of her favorites. And I bring her out, and then to see her face, and when she meets Sasha, and Sasha was great. She signed for her. She took pictures with her. She's incredible. Incredible stuff. And I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast and supporting me through all that. So I know we didn't hit all the news. This is going to be a primer, kind of a primer show. Right. We'll preview. I think I'll bring Robbie Fox in. We'll preview next week. We'll preview SummerSlam fully. We'll also have a couple more interviews. I need to talk to you, by the way. We got three WWE guys coming in tomorrow. So if you can book a room for 2 o'clock tomorrow, see what's available. We might have to do. In fact, there's three of them. So this room might work for tomorrow because there's three of them aesthetically. We're just working on the air here. Anyway, wrestling's great. I love wrestling. We're going to have voicemails in a minute. We got some returning superstars. But I've told you, I think Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in the world. I mean it. And this was a thrill to have her at the peak of her powers on the show. My interview with Sasha Banks. All right. So if you've been following wrestling since we started in December, you know that we've had some of the best guests in wrestling, both the past and the present. We've had Stone Cold Steve Austin. We've had Bret the Hitman Hart. We've had legends of the game. And then we've been lucky enough to have legends in their own time. And that is what we have today. And you don't know this, but I'm about to say it. In March, right before WrestleMania, I said on this show, the best wrestler in the world, not the best women's wrestler, the best wrestler in the world is Sasha Banks. That's what I said. And I'm not trying to, blow your skirt up just because you're on the show. But if people are listening to this show, they know what I've said during the show, and they know that I'm a big fan of yours. And it is Sasha Banks, the boss, Sasha Banks.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm even more happy to be here, knowing that I am the greatest.
Right, correct.
In all of sports entertainment.
I have a question. What's the difference between a boss and a legit boss?
I mean, a boss can be a boss that, like, hires you, whatever. Right. A legit boss is someone that rules the WWE universe, that rules all of the universe of any place that she walks into. That's a legit boss. You make head turns. Because I know when I walked in here, everyone's like, right. Sasha Banks? And I was like, I know. Now, that's why I'm so legit.
You said she, referring me. To you, of course. Yeah. But does a legit boss have to be a she? I'm 42. I got four kids. I don't know if I can be a legit boss.
You can if you go to WWEshop.com and get the rings.
Yes.
Get the shirts. Get the glasses. Okay. It's a start.
But I can't go to school and learn to become I can't major in legit bossery?
I mean, there could be a boss academy one day. That sounds good for me making more money.
There's an idea.
You would sign up, right?
I'll
get you a half a scholarship.
Half a scholarship,
yes.
Okay. Well, it sounds expensive, so I would take the half scholarship. I have no shame in taking half a scholarship. God knows I've done it before. That was a fun 2 years at community college. Anyway, Sasha is here, and it is just so I'm so happy to have you at wrestling because this is not a podcast that aspires to really be like a one that tears down the business or one that is negative about the business or one that wants to be super in the know. I'm a fan who I've had success at Barstool doing other stuff, but I wanted to be a fan that does a show for the fans, that gets to hang out with wrestlers and gets to really just expose how awesome this stuff really is.
It is.
And I'm happy to have you here. I want to ask a couple questions, and you've been back for a couple weeks now. You were off for a while.
Yep.
Since your WrestleMania match.
Yes.
But you've returned to get your rematch.
To get my rematch, to get what belongs to me, the SmackDown Women's Championship. You know, I took a couple months off because if you did watch WrestleMania where I main event.
I very much did.
Okay. I helped that rookie, Bianca, become who she is today. It takes a while for a scar to go away. She used her hair against me and it left me a big scar. You know, that costs a lot of money. I just can't be seen by the WWE universe looking this hideous.
Right.
I'm the boss. I'm legit. I can't look nothing but the best. It took a while and now I'm back. Look at my scar. You can still see it a little
bit. No, that really is still there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question about that.
Rude.
First of all, it was bullshit that she got to do that. All right?
Cheating, all right. Number one.
You can't just carry around an 8-foot rope around, okay? Anyway, no, I'm not going to get into that.
Let's not start.
I'm not going to get into that. But I have seen people thrown off of ladders. I've seen people thrown through tables.
Like me, yes.
I've seen people in a Hell in a Cell match. I've seen all these incredible bumps that take my breath away. I have never been as shocked and like when I heard that sound of her.
Oh,
what did that feel like?
Oh my God, it brought me so much trauma
yeah.
of when I was a child. I was like, Mama, no, Mama! It just reminded me of when my mom used to whip me.
With her hair?
With hangers.
Oh, yeah.
My God, with belts?
Yeah.
Oh!
Well, my mom did too. We couldn't afford belts.
Oh my gosh, that's what just it reminded me. That's why it took me a while to just, at 3 and a half, I was kicking out. But she just left me in so much trauma and so much fear. And because she cheated, I never expected her to be so low.
So now SummerSlam is coming back around. We'll talk about WrestleMania in a minute, but SummerSlam in Vegas.
August 21st.
SummerSlam annually, one of the best shows, one of the biggest shows that WWE does. But this year, I think it's even extra special because we had Mania, right, in Tampa.
Yep.
We had weather. We had, we still had 25,000 people. This is going to be in Vegas, the biggest event of the summer, huge, and you're coming to get your belt back. That's the plan?
Yeah, that is the plan. And I actually think that this SummerSlam might be bigger than WrestleMania.
It feels bigger than Mania.
It feels like it's going to be bigger than WrestleMania. You know, I'm counting down the days, and it's really creeping up on me, but I am so ecstatic to be back with fans. There's nothing like their energy. So I think this crowd is going to be bigger attendance than WrestleMania, which already makes me, you know, it lights a fire in my heart. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to SummerSlam August 21st, and I cannot wait to be the SmackDown Women's Champion again.
So you came back a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown, and it was great. You had a tag match, and at the end, you and Bianca had the little showdown that you had to set up this match.
Yeah.
Since you've been back, you mentioned the crowds. How have crowds been back since you returned? Like, are they different? Like, a year ago, we had crowds, right? It's been a year and five months, or something like that.
Yeah, over a year and a half.
Now WWE has crowds again. How have they been different since you've been back?
They just sound like they missed us so much. And when you watch it, you can tell by us as well that we miss them. We miss their energy. We miss their interaction. They can change everything for us in a moment because they turn their minds and change their minds and, you know, cheer different things. Like, that just makes you think so differently when you're in the ring. For a year and a half, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing but the virtual fans, which were great while they were there. But, man, there were TV screens. There was the real audience, the real energy. They just make you feel some type of way. And it makes you do things that you wouldn't even think about doing.
I love feeling some type of way.
What type of way do you love to feel like?
I don't know. Mostly hungry.
You mostly hungry?
Yeah.
I'm hungry for money all the time.
Are you? Really?
Starving for it.
Oh, well, I get paid a lot of money.
Do you get paid?
A lot of money.
Now,
yeah.
That's like a boss.
Yeah.
That's
No, not legit, though.
Not legit.
Because I'm actually lying about it. let me ask you a question. You've had a hell of a career. You've done many things. You've been women's champ. You've done all these things first. What's better in front of a crowd? I'm going to give you two scenarios.
Okay.
Let's say you have a hard-fought title match that you're the challenger and you pin them 1-2-3. Holding up that belt in front of the crowd, that long, hard match, and you finally won it, holding up the belt, mm-hmm. or getting out in front of a crowd and just turning on somebody and beating the crap out of them in front of everybody. Which one's better? Because you've done both.
I've done those both
multiple times.
A couple times. That is so hard.
Because you know when a crowd's watching, right? Like, say a couple of weeks ago.
Let's rewind it back,
And the fans are applauding you and Bianca. It's so great to see these friends. They were enemies once, but they're friends, and they're hugging each other, and everything's great. And then, boom, bank statement. You do things that you need to
do. And they love it.
And they react because
they get out of their seats, and they want more, which is crazy. So it's like the same reaction when you win a championship as well.
Very similar.
But I love winning gold, so I'm going to have to say winning a championship is a better feeling.
Okay,
I can't wait for that feeling again at SummerSlam.
One sets up the other, doesn't it?
I can't wait. Yes.
So let me ask you about the rematch, because it is you against Bianca Belair, who's taken WWE by storm.
Yes, yeah.
She main evented WrestleMania with you. She being
cousin me.
She's a rookie. Or I don't know if she's still a rookie, but she certainly. In her first couple of years in the business, has done a great job. What's going to be different about the rematch?
What's going to be different? I'm about to get the pin. I'm about to make her tap out. The difference is I'm hungrier than ever.
Okay.
I've been in this game way longer than Bianca Belair. Okay. I'm the greatest in the WWE, male or female. I have tricks up my sleeve like no other.
You're not wearing sleeves, Sasha.
In the ring, I do.
Okay. Sorry. My bad.
In the ring, I do. I know that square circle more than anybody on that roster. So I don't think Bianca is ready for the legit boss of the WWE.
Okay, well, that sounds fair. I look very, very, very forward to the rematch.
I think the
match itself, let's talk about the WrestleMania match. Because you guys made history. You did. You and Bianca Belair made history. But I feel like a lot of the discussion since then has been these two made history, and they did the ESPY moment and all that, and it was great. And, yeah, that moment is fantastic, but the match itself was incredible. The match was so good. And, like, I don't know if it means as much if you guys don't deliver as well as you did on the big stage.
Of course.
What did that mean to you?
I mean, let's be honest, though.
Yeah.
All my matches deliver. Okay?
Well, fair enough.
All my matches are good. All my matches are 5 stars. So it makes no difference if it's WrestleMania, a live event, or Friday Night SmackDown. Okay? It's no difference. That's why I am Sasha Banks.
I don't know if they're all 5 stars. I mean, you got to have some like 4.5 just to make the fives pop even. Okay, sorry.
They're all 5 stars.
I apologize for talking.
But to main event WrestleMania, that was my biggest dream. So big that I didn't even think it was possible.
Right.
You know? You would never think as a woman in the WWE or as a woman in general that you would be in the headline.
Right.
Main eventing. Wrestle freaking Mania.
Yeah.
To go out there and to wrestle in front of a crowd when we haven't wrestled in front of them over a year and a half. To get the reception that we did and to deliver and to kill it and to have people still talking about that match.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling in the world. To go home leaving people happy saying that was the match of the night. That was the main event. Male or female, period. That was just the greatest. And that's something that we're going to remember the rest of our lives.
But you are part of a generation of women in WWE that has changed everything. You guys have had the first everything. You've had you were so electric, the Women's Revolution back a couple years ago. You, Bayley, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, just a number of talents on the women's division that have changed women's wrestling forever. Yeah. You had the first Royal Rumble for women. You had the first Hell in a Cell. Everything you guys have done, but you were able to do the Mania first. I mean, that's got to be incredible.
I mean, Charlotte, Rhonda, and Becky did the first before me. So I'm the second to main event.
One-on-one match is what I meant, and I apologize for that.
But one-on-one, yes, absolutely. But it just shows you that, you know, this is here to stay. This is going to be nothing new. When you see next year that Sasha Banks is main eventing WrestleMania again, there's not going to be a question about it. They're not going to be, oh, my God, oh, that's the third time they did it. It's just, of course they're going to main event. They're the stars. They're the people. People want to see them. People go out and pay to see them. They're the best.
I run into a problem here at Barstool that there's not many people on my level. I walk around, you know, I obviously, you know, very successful. Dave does the little pizza stuff trying to catch up to me. There's a guy named Big Cat that does a show that nobody listens to. And I just run into the situation, what's next for Brandon Walker? Because can I bring up people to my level? Do you run into the same thing?
I run into that every
it's so frustrating.
Day. It is a little frustrating, but when you're at a certain level, you just have to keep on rising above yourself. You got to find people that will inspire you, that will push you, that will drive you to be the best. Because when you are at a certain level, staying at that level is even harder.
Let me ask you this. Just talking about your matches and everything, what do you consider the best match that you've ever had in your career?
Oof.
Can I tell you a story real quick?
Please.
So I sit before you, a man who, like in 2014, I never watched women's wrestling a lot. I was like, oh, it's good, but it's not, you know. But in 2015, Brooklyn, you and Bayley, I think it's the best match of the last decade. I'm not just gassing you up. I think it's the best match of the last decade. That was the moment where I was like, all right, I have been sleeping on this. These ladies can wrestle, and this is incredible. That's the one I would look at is when I noticed 2015 Brooklyn, you and Bayley, I was like, Sasha Banks is a player, like legit. Does it hold that special regard to you? I know you've had a ton of matches.
I've had a ton, but yes, that has to be definitely one of my top fives matches of all time because of what I wanted to leave on the table at that time.
Yeah.
I wanted fans to be like, that was the greatest women's match of all time. I wanted people to talk about it because I was being called up on the main roster. I was on the main roster for like 2 months, and I just wanted to show not only WWE but the women that, you know, we can do it just like the men, no matter what, no limits to it. And it's crazy that still to this day for that match,
yeah,
that's the number one match where fans come up to me and say thank you, that got me into wrestling, thank you, now my mom wants to watch it, thank you, now my daughter wants to be a wrestler, and thank you, now just thank you. Like, oh, it's just like, what, I can make people feel that way from something that I love and just from my work and the passion that I put into it. It's so cool. That's definitely one of my top five. But if I have to say in recent memories, I think Hell in a Cell with Bayley was definitely one of my favorite matches just because what a brutal match. I was so nervous going in just because the year before that match destroyed me. And just like me and Bailey's chemistry is like no other. She is just someone that I trust so much in that ring that we don't even need to talk, and definitely don't even need to talk in something so dangerous like that type of match. I know that she has me no matter what, whenever type of match that we have in that ring together.
I was talking to somebody last night inside the business, and I was like, what makes Sasha Banks so good in the ring, just to try to get a wrestler's perspective? And they said, you know somebody's good when it doesn't matter who the opponent is. They're always going to have a very good match.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's something that you strive to no matter who's across from you, you're going to deliver? How difficult is that, though? Because there's a lot of different types of opponents out there.
There is. And
there's tall people, there's short people, there's fast people, there's slow people.
There's everything. And that's why I try to be the best. I try to have skills in every single category. When I'm in the ring with someone like, say, a Zelina or a Nia Jax, I have to change up my game because those are two completely different type of players that I'm going to be in the ring with. I study like nobody else. I want to have the greatest matches with every single person that I'm in the ring with. So I think of it as like a game. Like, how can I make this the greatest match tonight? Mm-hmm. And how can this be the best match ever with this person that I'm in the ring with?
Question. Mm-hmm. Arm wrestling. Me against Nia Jax, who would win?
Nia, for sure. Oh, my gosh. You don't even want to play with her.
Me against Tamina.
Tamina would just... Mm-mm.
Trying to figure Nobody out somebody Mina. I could beat. Reginald. He can't flip during arm wrestling.
Okay.
He can't do gymnastics during arm wrestling, Sasha.
If you can't flip out of it, you might stand your chance.
I'm going to beat Reginald in arm wrestling. That's kind of a low bar. Anyway, so a couple more questions. I know you are famously we're a huge fan of Eddie Guerrero.
Yes.
Growing up. And this isn't a question about Eddie Guerrero, but it is about you growing up as a fan. Because I know when I was growing up, my favorite match of all time is WrestleMania III, Savage Steamboat.
Wow.
And through all the Attitude Era, through everything I grew up through, that remained my favorite match ever. So I'm wondering, your favorite match ever, I don't know what it is. That's what I want to ask you. What is it? Is it one that's like stayed with you forever? Is it recent? What's your favorite match ever? What as Sasha Banks the fan?
Ever. Oh, it's so hard. I can't choose just one.
Yeah.
But of course, everything with Eddie Guerrero. I guess if I have to say ever, because just of the feeling, because I bet the reason why you love that match is just the feeling that you remember as a kid,
correct,
right?
Yes.
Eddie versus Brock Lesnar when he won the WWE Championship.
No Way Out 2004.
Yeah. I was like crying my eyes out because I'm just like, my hero freaking did it. And just the feeling and seeing that story and his struggle, and just like, I felt the same like as Eddie. I wanted to be like Eddie. So that has to be like my number one of just how it made me feel as a kid of just, you know, he did it and I wanted to do it just like him.
So I want to look down the card at SummerSlam real quick, because people listening to wrestling, you know, there's some matches here that
this is gonna be,
it's huge.
Oh my god!
You've got Bobby Lashley, you got Goldberg, you got Roman Reigns, you got John Cena. We'll start there. You're on SmackDown.
Yep.
You know, Roman Reigns is somebody that's just at the top of a business right now. He's the head of the table. He's got everything going on. His character work is incredible. But then you've got John Cena. Like, this is John Cena.
John Cena.
I have a five-year-old kid. I have four kids. I have many kids. I have a five-year-old, right?
Yep.
He has never watched wrestling in his life.
But he knows John Cena.
And he's
Cena
five.
Now.
And this morning, I said, I'm taking your sister to work to see a wrestler. And he goes, John Cena? I said, no.
Crazy.
No, she can't see John Cena. Nobody can. Anyway, stupid dad joke aside, he knew John Cena. Like, this is Roman Reigns, John Cena. This is Vegas. This is SummerSlam. What an incredible start to the card. What's the feeling around the company about this?
Well, the feeling is it's great to have someone like John Cena back.
Right.
Because what a legend. What a freaking legend. Yeah. What someone that's just, you know, let and cemented his name in the WWE history. He's just great. At these house shows, I'm watching him, and you look around and you see the fans, and like you said, it's like little kids who probably never seen John Cena because he's been gone for the past 5-6 years, but they still know who he is, and they still are just so like entranced with his work and what he does. And Roman Reigns, he's on a whole different level. He's on a whole different game with having Paul Heyman and having the Bloodline with his side. You know, he's hungry to prove that he is the top dog in this business. So I think that match is definitely one to watch, but it's not going to be better than Bianca versus Sasha Banks.
I felt like we were leaning, circling
It's not
going to
be better than that. So, yeah, we can talk about it.
No, that's my fault.
We can talk about the card.
I don't really know what I was doing.
We can really talk about the main event when you want to talk about the main event.
Yeah.
Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. Oh my God.
I don't know. I feel like I'm asking about a Volvo when there's, you know, there's a Mercedes
but
in the room.
That's true.
So
classic Mercedes.
That was actually a mistake I looked into. I feel like I'm asking about some matches that people are going to love, and they're not going to be Sasha Banks against Bianca Belair.
But Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Edge versus Seth Rollins.
Fantastic,
what?
Yes. What about the other side? What about the Raw Women's title match? You've got Nikki ASH. You've got Charlotte, who's always, you know, always going
to
deliver.
Always going to do something. Rhea Ripley. To try to get that. Who is killing the – she's awesome. I hope to work with her one day. She's an up and coming. I can't believe how young she is, and just I watch her and I'm like, wow, she's talented.
You know who I can't believe how young they are?
Who?
You.
I know.
No, you've been doing this for like forever. For 11 years.
Yes.
And you're 29.
I'm only 29.
Now, how? You don't have to listen. That's fine. How long have you been 29?
6 months.
6 months. Okay. Well,
right.
That's legal.
A little over 6 months. Yeah.
So I can't wait for SummerSlam. That's coming up August 21st. Let's go beyond SummerSlam, because I assume you plan to be the champion.
I do plan to be.
What does the second half of the year hold for Sasha Banks?
Oh my gosh. Just greatness. Once become the women's champion again, I guess I just get to have all these new matchups that I didn't get to have really in my first round. I want to wrestle people like Liv Morgan,
sure.
Zelina, who else? Toni Storm,
mm-hmm.
Tegan Knox. There is just so many women that I just haven't been in the ring yet. And on SmackDown, that's the land of opportunity. And I'm ready to give these girls a chance to see if they can stand up against the boss.
Can I just make a personal observation?
Yeah.
Whenever you learn confidence, I think you're going to be really, really good.
Once I learn it?
Yeah, once you become confident in yourself and really sure of yourself, I think the sky is the limit.
I think so, too.
Right now, you're a little too timid. You're a little too
shy. I probably can go to Mars before Elon Musk.
Really?
I think so.
You know,
once I get my confidence.
I think that's a sham. He only went to, like, the edge of space.
That was that Bezos guy, whatever his name is.
Elon, too, right? That was Bezos. Elon and Bezos were the same guy.
You think so? Well, I hope to beat them both.
I don't know any billionaires, actually. I know Dave Portnoy. He's got like, he's not a billionaire. Anyway,
that's
I hope
my
to be
plan.
A billionaire.
That's my
You're
going
to be a billionaire?
Second, that's my plan for the second half of the
to
year.
To become a billionaire.
That's right.
That would be incredible.
That's all I want. That's all I want. I want to go to Mars, pretty much. Start my own federation up there.
Mars Wrestling Federation, MWF.
Perfect.
That's beautiful.
I love it. Would you
would
go?
Would you
try to go?
Yeah, I would go. Could I get tickets?
I can give you a little discount.
A discount?
Yeah.
With like a 2% discount? I assume it's going to be expensive.
It's going to be a little expensive. I mean, from Earth to
there. Question, if you're the only one going to Mars, who else are you going to wrestle?
No, I'm not going to be. I'm going to bring people. I'm going to hire
promoting.
People. I'm promoting it right now.
Promoting, okay.
Okay, once
so
I get
coming
to Mars,
soon,
yes.
Mars Wrestling Federation, brought to you by
once
Sasha
I get
Banks.
My confidence, once I become a billionaire, once I become the legit CEO of the WWE.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to Mars. We're taking it straight to Mars. We ain't talking about WWE Universe. We're talking about Galaxy.
I'm sure he's a great man, but Vince McMahon has never run a show outside of Earth. Never.
Until hopefully.
But you'll be running this show, though.
He trusts me. We're best friends. I love
you, Vince?
Vince. Thank you, Vince. Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
My
that's
best friend.
Really?
Speed dial. Texts every single morning.
My best friend is a dog.
How are you, Sasha?
Really?
I'm amazing. Thank
he
you,
texts
Vince.
In his own voice?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Good morning. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
I bet that poor phone.
Oh, it's a great phone.
All right, so last question. You know, I guess I kind of just asked it, but I asked for the second half of the year, but really you answered that the future is laid out, right? What's the future for Sasha Banks? Other than the moon, the Mars, the Mars Wrestling Federation, and me getting a 1% discount.
I mean, just to be the champion again, to keep on being the face of the company. There's so many things that I can do in the WWE. There's so many things that I have not done yet. But I'll be here for a very, very long time. So if you keep on watching every single week on Friday Night SmackDown,
sure.
Watch me on SummerSlam, watch me every time on Twitter or Instagram, I'm going to be there. I'm going to keep on being the best. I'm going to keep on being the boss. And hopefully everybody else can level up to me one day.
But that's on them.
That's on you.
Not me. I've leveled up.
That's on you.
You. All right. It is SummerSlam. It's coming up August 21st. If you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know what a thrill that was. You know, this could be the future SmackDown Women's Champion. This could be the – she could be the future ruler of Earth. But anyway, we'll see. It starts against Bianca Belair next Saturday, August 21st in Vegas. It's going to be awesome on Peacock. You know where to watch it. You know how awesome it's going to be. I can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Wrestling. All right, you travel a lot. I travel a lot. Aria travels a lot. I don't know if you travel a lot, even if you travel a little. When you do travel, when you go anywhere, you connect to Wi-Fis all over the world. You connect to Wi-Fi at your hotel, at the airport, the train station, wherever you go, you're going to want that hot internet, right? You're not going to want to be paying for the internet. You're going to want that free internet, so you're going to connect to the Wi-Fi. To do that, you need to protect your stuff, and you do that with NordVPN. It's like a cyber Swiss Army knife with numerous features and essentials. NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, so you don't have to sacrifice internet speed for better security. Your internet traffic is routed through a secure encrypted tunnel, which protects your data and privacy. With the ability to have NordVPN on up to 6 devices, you can access content from over 59 different countries by changing your virtual location with one click. Geo restrictions or local blackouts for sporting events in your area are now no longer an issue and super easy to use. Think of when you're traveling and you're using an unsecure airport or restaurant Wi-Fi. Public Wi-Fi is notorious for being a hotbed for data hackers to steal your data. Using NordVPN on your phone and laptop protects you from hackers and gives you peace of mind while traveling. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee if NordVPN is not for you, so there's no risk. Go to NordVPN, that's NordVPN.com/wrestling, our podcast URL, or use code Wrestling, that's my podcast code Wrestling, R-E-S-S-L-I-N, to get a two-year plan plus a bonus gift with a huge discount, NordVPN.com/wrestling. All right, so we are heading down the stretch of wrestling this week, baby. We got SummerSlam coming up. We got All Out coming up. It is wrestling time, baby. And it's your turn. It is your turn. Before we get there, Aria, how cool was Sasha?
She was awesome. She's just the legit boss.
The legit boss. She was fantastic. I love when a good in character interview dips out of character a little bit. You get the real. You get the you get the show. You get everything.
Yeah, there wasn't. It was like even when she dipped out, there was like a little bit of difference, but it's still a lot of her.
You know what the best characters are, and they've always said this, but the best character was the fact that, you know, Stone Cold was him, just turned up to like 11. So was The Rock. So was I feel like that's just her.
Yep.
Turned all the way up.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
I definitely get the Eddie Guerrero vibes from her too, which I love, because I know she's just a huge fan of his.
I just think she's so fantastic, man. And I hope it didn't come across as gushing, like, I think you're the best wrestler in the world. But I've literally said that.
You've been saying that.
Yeah. When we started doing – this is our first in-person interview.
No, well, we had Tony
here?
Khan and –
Tony Khan and Orange Cassidy. Yep. Yeah. But this is our first WWE interview here, right?
Yep.
We've had – everything's been on Zoom except for her.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. She was great, man. I can't wait to get to SummerSlam. I know – you can't wait to get to your cousin's wedding next week. Idiot. You and your cousin. All right, boys. Let's talk about my favorite subject. Your balls. I go to sleep at night thinking about y'all's ball sacks. It just runs my life. I wake up thinking, oh, I wonder how Macho Man's balls are doing. I wonder how Kalisto Guy's testicles are doing. It just worries me, right? It just worries me because I've got to make sure. Listen, you guys are wrestling fans, so you're probably not getting a lot of girls taking your pants off, but when it happens, you need them things to be ready. They need to be ready for showtime. They need to be ready for center stage. They need to be shining. They don't need to be all that bushy shit. You don't want all that? Come on, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Today's episode sponsored by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below the waist grooming. It's back to school time. I know that whenever I think of below the waist grooming, I think of back to school time. We want to make sure you pack the essentials to have the best year yet. The Manscaped 4th Generation Performance Package is just that. School is back, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to teach the boys a lesson on male hygiene. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear, hair, and nose trimmer, and the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, plus two free gifts, Performance Boxer Briefs and the Shed Travel Bag. This package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0 and will give you the confidence to do anything you desire. It's a new year, new you. It's not a new year at all, but new school year, that works. Might screw around and attend Smooth Balls University this fall. Who wrote that? It's so bad, it's good. Smooth Balls University. Don't we all want to go there? The fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also allows you to shave your pencil down. Oh, what is happening? Shave your pencil down and customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. So they just have meetings and they just do school puns. Is that what we're doing? Your pencil. Shave your pencil down. Okay, relax. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor. A new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn the 4K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Package includes the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. The weed whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered by 360-degree rotary blade dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer features proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Get 20% off and free shipping with code Brandon at manscaped.com. Think your testicles, think Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N. That's 20% off and free shipping with code Brandon at manscaped.com for a clean trinity and beyond. Your space balls will thank you. I love how we did the school ad, but then they just left the space ad too. Go get your balls cut, boys. Okay. Anyway, it's everybody's turn. It's their turn. It is voicemail time, and I understand we got a full slate this week. We got a full docket, huh?
Yeah, they came strong this week compared to last week.
Can I say something to you on a personal level?
Yeah.
I kind of like this feeling, the radio room.
I honestly like it too.
I kind of like you being behind the glass. I kind of like this. We're not like jammed up in a podcast room. There's freedom out here.
It's literally freedom.
Look how relaxed I am.
Yeah.
I think this might be better.
Hey,
have you noticed there's been multiple podcasts that started recording in here? Like Son of a Boy Dad records in here.
Yep. Troops is in here all the time.
I think they figured it out.
I think it makes sense. It really does.
Although I have a new show coming that's going to be in here exclusively, so I don't know. We might not need to lead the cavalry of people in here. But let's not talk about my new show because we don't want to announce that.
Yep.
Voicemail time. It is your turn to get in on the action and tell us whatever you want to tell us. Cuss me, kiss me, kill me, whatever you want to do. It is your time to do it. The number, of course, is, as always,
it is 202.
202.
810-4942.
4249.
There we go.
I had the digits. I didn't have the number correct. 4249. All right. Here we go. It is voicemail time. It is voicemail number one.
Hey, Brandon. Got another WCW question for you. It's a couple parts. First, did you ever call into the hotline?
Huh.
And if so, do you remember what kind of information you received?
Huh.
And then second, in regards to the hotline itself, do you think that was something that helped strengthen the legitimacy of the sport, kind of like a direct line to the GM of a baseball team? Or do you think it was kind of a cheap gimmick that weakened the legitimacy of the sport? Thanks.
First of all, it was 1-900-909-9900. That was the WCW hotline. I thought it added legitimacy, and it was a cheap gimmick. Like, it is a cheap gimmick. But back then, hotlines were just existed. You know, there were all these 800 numbers, 900 numbers. They just existed. This one, I believe this went directly into Gene Okerlund's pocket. I think this was part of his deal that he got to keep, royalties off the hotline, and he was always pimping that thing. I liked it. I think it was, you know, it gives you a chance. Like, now we have the internet. Now we have Twitter, and now we have all this. But it gave you a chance back then to, you want to pay a little extra, you might get some information early. And that was always enticing, and it was part of a club. And you asked me, did I ever call the WCW hotline? And the answer is yes. And I could give you the exact date because I know what the day was, but it was the day of Super Brawl in 97. And they were doing the rematch of Piper and Hogan, and they were doing it for the title. You know, the first match at Starrcade wasn't for the title. Piper won, but then they had the rematch for the title in San Francisco. They did this whole gimmick where Rowdy Roddy Piper was stuck in Alcatraz for 7 days. It was really, really fucking stupid. Anyway, Gene Oakland came on the beginning of the show. Like, I think the very first thing, before they even had a match, he comes on, and I'm watching Super Bowl from my house. I'm 18 years old. I'm way too old to be calling hotlines, but I'm 18 years old. Actually, I'm 17, about to turn 18. And I'm way too old to be calling hotlines. Gene Oakland, first thing on Super Bowl 7, I think, he says, huge main event tonight, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, but you would never believe who I saw having breakfast with NWO brass, Eric Bischoff, and Hulk Hogan this morning in San Francisco. And I was like, whoa, who, what? Who had breakfast with what are you talking about? And because this was still in the, you know, NWO was one thing, WCW was the other. There was, of course, Luger, there was Sting, there was all that. And people defecting to the NWO was still hot. It was hot in the streets. And I called 1-900-909-9900, and Gene Oakland told me that it was none other than Macho Man Randy Savage that had breakfast with Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know, at the end of that night, Roddy Piper has Hogan in a compromising position, but here comes Randy Savage to turn heel and join the NWO. So, the hotline worked. Now, it spoiled it, but I guess that's what you paid for spoil. It's fine. I knew something other people didn't know. And when he came out there, I'm like, here we go. He had breakfast.
Did Gene actually speak to you, or was it like a pre-recording?
No, it was a pre-recording of Gene, yeah.
Yeah.
You call in, and then he would say almost everything he said on the live broadcast, but then after you, like, press the button, press one if you want to hear it, and he would say, and the person who had breakfast was none other than Macho Man Randy Savage. That's exactly how he said it. And it was just, it was a very satisfying feeling. So, long answer, but boy, isn't that what this is all about, sharing memories with wrestling? That was fantastic. How many voicemails we got? 8? I can't give an answer that long on all of them, but that was fun. You took me back right there. That was a great question. Voicemail number 2.
What's up, Brandon? What's up, Ari? It's Pat from Winnipeg. Just finished watching AEW Dynamite, and the labors of Jericho have been phenomenal. The first 3 were great.
Agreed.
The fourth one's going to be interesting, putting MGF in there. It shows how versatile Chris Jericho is. He's one of the greatest of all times. But my question is for you, Brandon. What is the end game for these labors? I feel like he's going to get to the 5th one personally, and then he's going to come up short, and it's going to be a partial continuation because he wants to go on tour with Fozzy. That's just my thinking. But what do you think is the end of this MGF Chris Jericho storyline? Do you think it's going to do a lot to elevate MGF, or is it just going to be put it on hold, we'll be back, and we'll see something great? As always, love the pod. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. I think, and this is not a spoiler because I'm privy to no information, it's just a spoiler into my mind what I think is going to happen. I think we're heading towards MJF retiring Chris Jericho. I think we're heading towards a retirement match, whether it's at All Out or further down the line. I mean, Jericho is 50. I think Jericho's always been self-aware. He is still good, still very good. He's still excellent. He's still one of the top, he's in the top of the percent of wrestlers in the world today. But, you know, time is winding down, and I think he knows that. But I think we're heading towards him retiring eventually, and I think he has been personally getting MJF ready for the next step in MJF's career. And this is all about MJF coming out the winner in the end, whether he retires him or not. But this is all about elevating MJF. That's what Chris Jericho does. He elevates people. He makes everybody around him better. I really feel like if you look deeper, like, the labors of Jericho just feels like a journey through his career already. Like, he was in ECW for a while, right? Well, there's the match with Nick Gage a couple weeks ago, the death match. You had the WCW period with Juventud Guerrera. Now you got Wardlow and MJF as a special referee. That seems to be a nod towards everything that always happened in WWE. I don't know what would be 5th. I don't remember what was 1st, to be honest. But it just feels like he's like progressing through all the steps of his career, building up to losing his career against MJF. If I'm misreading that, I will aware that in a couple weeks, but we will see. It's been fun. I love the announcements every week. I love everything that goes along with it. Love seeing Hooven too. Just a way to tweak the normal feud, right? Like, feuds, it's only so many formulas you can do, and they've absolutely kind of reinvented one here. It's been beautiful and fantastic, and kudos to them for doing a great job. Voicemail number 3.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? This is Justin from Queens. So I would say my favorite year in wrestling is 98,
So if you can take a wrestler from 2021, mm-hmm. you know, their current gimmick, their current run, any promotion, and send them to 98 and vice versa, take somebody's run from 98, put them in present day, who would you want to see each way and where would you want to see them go?
Well, I know who I want to bring to the present. I know that for a fact. And I guess it's overkill because it's the same answer from the last guy. But Chris Jericho in 1998 was a revelation. Chris Jericho in a company that, hey, you had Goldberg on top. You had the run of Goldberg. So give him credit for that in 98. That was electric and fantastic. But in a company that was absolutely stale and stagnant and getting more so by the day as you got deeper into 98. As you got in the back half of 98, boy, that thing was starting to have a stench to it. But as that's going on, as you continue to have guys join the NWO, and now you've got the NWO Wolfpack and NWO Black and White, you've got guys, you've got Horace Hogan in the NWO, you've got Stevie Ray, you've got Brian Adams, you've got all these guys, like it's everything's watered down, and you've been doing the same story for 3 years. It's just enough of that. And when the backdrop of all that is happening in the company, Chris Jericho is getting 30 seconds on the mic here, a minute on the mic there. He's getting great matches, and every time he has the mic in his hand, he's electric. He's coming up with funny things. He does a conspiracy video in Washington, D.C. He creates a feud out of nothing with Goldberg when Goldberg isn't even in the same camera shot with him. He makes that one of the hottest feuds in the company. He has the Dean Malenko storyline early where he does the announcements for the Lucha Battle Royal, which are hilarious, and then Dean Malenko unmasks Ciclo Play. Everything Chris Jericho touched in 98 was fantastic. WCW had no idea what to do with him because they probably had no idea he was even doing it. They were just worried about Rodman and Leno and DDP and Hogan at the top of the card, and they weren't worried about what they had below them. They weren't worried about elevating the next generation like Chris Jericho. Boom. 8 months later, he's coming out with the greatest debut ever in WWE. Chris Jericho, 98. I bring him to present time and turn him loose. As far as a present time guy now that I take back to 98, boy, oh, boy. I'd love to see how 1998 crowds react to Bobby Lashley. Because this version of Bobby Lashley, like the not the smiling version, the one that comes out is all business and beats the shit out of everybody. I mean, that's just what Goldberg did. And Lashley is bigger, more muscular, better looking at 45 than Goldberg was then. And Goldberg took the world by storm. Can you imagine if that was Lashley in that spot? Like that just... That just intrigues me to plug and play somebody like him there. Of course, in WWE, it was all Attitude Era at the time. It was all character-driven. Hard to understand. Maybe The Fiend works better then than it works now in this reality-based era. Just trying to think. I mean, you had a porn star. You had all kind of guys. Maybe The Fiend. I think I'm sticking with Bobby Lashley, just throwing him in that Goldberg spot and see what happens. And then Jericho coming to 2021. Great question. All great questions so far. Voicemail number 4.
What's up, Brandon and Aria? This is Billy from Louisville. Love the pod. I actually met you all when you came to OBW earlier this summer. That was a good time. Brandon taking the protein powder to the face bump. That was sick. But I told Brandon there that he was my inspiration to create a wrestling podcast myself, and something we talked about on our show the other day was if you had to draft, let's say, like 4 or 5 wrestlers to be on a football team with football right around the corner. I know Brandon's a big football guy like myself. So, you know, what would be those 4 or 5 wrestlers that you would draft for your football team? And I know a lot of them have, you know, backgrounds in the sport, but maybe a few wild cards in there too. That would be good. Suiting up on a football team. Again, love the pod, and thanks for taking the call.
I'm not going to take the guys that played high-level football. Like Roman Reigns played at Georgia Tech, was very good. The Rock, of course, at Miami. Big E at Iowa. So I'm trying to think of guys that didn't play. That, to my knowledge, it isn't part of their like famous character or anything like that. Because I would assume a lot of these big guys, like Baron Corbin played football. He was on an NFL camp. And I don't know about Otis, but I feel like Otis looks just like an offensive lineman, just a nasty guard that would have paved the way for a 2,000-yard rusher in Class 2A in Alabama in 1996. Anyway, I always thought you just look at guys that are freaky athletic. Like Shawn Michaels was so athletic. Peak Shawn Michaels, like 90, 95 Shawn Michaels. I'm giving that guy 15 carries a game. I'm throwing screens to that guy. I'm throwing screens to Shawn Michaels. I'm running behind Bam Bam Bigelow. You know, I think just the entire mid-90s, if I got Tatanka at tight end and Bam Bam Bigelow at right tackle and I'm just running off tackle with Shawn Michaels, boy, I'm moving the ball. I'm moving the ball, Aria.
What about quarterback? What do you think?
Quarterback, that's a good one too.
Mr. Perfect.
Let me tell you another one. yeah, that's a good one. I don't know 100% his background as far as football goes. I'm pretty sure he played. I knew a guy who knew him in high school in Gainesville, Georgia. I feel like AJ Styles would have been a hell of a scat back too. Quarterback, it's hard because you need that guy about 6'4", 6'5". I was going to say Lance Archer, but he legitimately was a quarterback in college. My knowledge is getting in the way. My knowledge of knowing that they played, like Lance Archer played college quarterback, period. That's not a projection. That's what he did. So it's a great question. I love Shelton Benjamin. I know he was a college wrestler. Imagine that guy. You know, what was he? 6'1", 220. I mean, that's a four-star tailback right there. That's a big-time running back. I love that question. I love all the questions. I love all you guys. We're just having fun today. It's just nice to people that haven't left the podcast before, caused a lot of drama, just to be here with me and just to share these memories. Voicemail number 5, please.
Brandon.
Oh.
This is Marcus in North Dakota calling.
I'm sorry.
And I think I have a solution for some of the problems that you've been having.
Interesting.
Maybe not necessarily at the Rastlin podcast, but at Barstool in general.
Go ahead.
I think you guys need to incorporate Wrestler's Court the way that they used to incorporate Wrestler's Court back in the day.
I agree.
Whoever could be around to be the judge, I don't know who the undertaker of that office is right now.
Big Cat.
If that was you, if that was Dave or Big Cat or whoever it had to be, I think that would be a phenomenal way to settle some of these petty issues that keep coming up and preventing people from just doing their jobs and making money. Also, I really hope that the tweet that Bray Wyatt just sent out about an hour ago as I record this and send it to you means that he's not done and that we will see him at SummerSlam in some shape or form at the end of the Roman Reigns-John Cena match. Love the pod. Keep it up.
By the way, and I'll answer his Wrestler's Court question because the answer is any court. Dave's going to be the judge, right? Dave will be the judge. But I just love, you know, wrestlers are so petty and behind the scenes it's just so crazy and cat-like. It's the same as here. We are a wrestling locker room, 100%. So everything we do, I feel like we're WWF locker room like in the 80s without the cocaine. You know, we're some cocaine. So we're absolutely already the same thing. So that's a great idea. What did he say? What was the last thing that I wanted? Oh, he mentioned the Bray Wyatt tweet. By the way, we've been doing this since December. I think history would show I have never been more right than that take. I think the take I had last week, and I was nervous to give it, but my wrestling fan senses were just going crazy. Like my radar was just going off. I was nervous to say, guys, I don't think he's been released. I think this is all at work. But guys, I don't think he was released. I think this is all at work. I think Bray Wyatt, quote unquote, has been quote unquote released. I don't think the Fiend's been released from anywhere, and I think trouble's coming for somebody. And whether it's Randy Orton or Alexa Bliss, I think trouble's coming for somebody. And credit to me for sniffing that out. Really shows what kind of wrestling IQ I have and just IQ in general. Good kudos to me. Voicemail number 6.
Hey, Brandon, first-time caller. EJ here in Chicago. Watching Raw right now, and it is a chore to watch. Just wondering a couple of things here. One, why do you think guys like Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly have not been called up to the main roster yet? And what can they do to fix Raw other than to maybe either shorten it up or balance out the Raw and SmackDown rosters? Thanks. Love the show. And hope to see you in Chicago when you're here for AEW's events Labor Day weekend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So here's my okay, let's think about this. What was the question?
Well, he's wondering why, like, talent like Peter Dunne,
yeah,
they haven't been called up.
Pete Dunne, not Peter Dunne. It's not Peter Dunne's his dad. All right. So, A, I think, you know, it looks like Adam Cole's on the precipice of possibly getting called up soon. Apparently he was at SmackDown. Him and Vince played Connect Four together, and they loved each other, bonded, had s'mores. So I think Adam Cole's on the way very soon. As far as Pete Dunne, and, I just don't – I think Vince likes big guys. I think Vince likes spectacle. I think Vince likes projectable stars. I don't think he's seen that out of NXT lately, which we talked about earlier on the show. We certainly talked about it at length. I just think he doesn't really – he doesn't see NXT stars like we see NXT stars. And that's okay. That's okay. I mentioned it earlier, and I don't want to go back into it. What was the rest of the question? Because I liked it. I'm starting to space out. We just had Sasha Banks, which is his whole question was good. What would I do to fix Raw? That was the question. I think it's just a matter of more interesting characters. And like and I think the thing that hurts Raw the most is the repetitiveness. The absolute hammering home of feuds. Like let's take the Charlotte Rhea Ripley Nikki ASH feud. Instead of having them wrestle other people and maybe doing run-ins or maybe doing promos afterwards and talking and circling around each other, they just wrestle each other for 6 weeks. Like, 1 week it's Nikki against Charlotte, and next week it's Nikki against Rhea, and I'm sure next week it'll be Charlotte against Rhea. Like, it's just, they just wrestle each other all the time. That's how people feud now. They wrestle 1 week, then they wrestle another week, they trade wins, and they all build up to a match of pay-per-view that we've seen six times. That's boring. That's boring. Back in the 90s, like, Triple H would come out, and he would wrestle Ken Shamrock, even though he's feuding with The Rock. And The Rock would come out and do commentary. The Rock would come out, and he'd hit Triple H, or he'd cuss Triple H. And just all kind of stuff. There were just so many layers upon layers upon layers. And Shamrock was feuding. He's wrestling Triple H. He's over here feuding with Goldust. Now Goldust is on the screen grabbing his nuts and stuff. Like, everything was chaos. Chaos is gone from Raw. There's still a little chaos on SmackDown. There's absolutely chaos on Dynamite. That's what helps. There's no chaos on Raw anymore. It's all paint by numbers. They got to get more creative with it. And Vince is the most creative guy in the history of the business. I do think he'll figure it out. And fans, when he does figure it out, you got to be willing to accept it. You can't just act like Raw hasn't been good since 2001. Yeah, it has. You're just negative all the time. Anyway, whatever. Voicemail number 7.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Undisputed voicemail champ. Of this podcast, your boy, everyone's boy, the Macho Man. Oh, Brandon, how are you? I do apologize about the connection last week.
Stop right there.
But I must say.
I was listening to this one earlier. You know what he did right there? Are you a Family Guy fan?
Yes.
I want you to start this over. He sounded just like – he dipped into Joe Swanson there. He sounded just like Joe Swanson. We'll let him finish. Who does Joe Swanson? Is it not Warburton? But just listen to tell me he doesn't sound like Joe when he does that. Anyway, start it over, and let's listen to this in full.
Yeah. The undisputed voicemail champ of this podcast. Your boy, everyone's boy, Oh, Brandon, how are you? I do apologize about the connection last week, but I must say, need some new merchandise, yeah.
Just Joe doing a Macho Man.
Macho Man with Brandon Walker. Oh, yeah, and with Stacey Keebler on it. Yeah, let me tell you something. Watching Stacey Keebler as a young kid on Monday Night Raw, yeah, made waking up on Tuesday mornings the second hardest thing. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, relax.
I do apologize. No more dirty jokes.
Thank you.
I learned my lesson. We are we're good men. But look, Brandon, I got a very important question here for you. Much like the real Macho Man, I am also from Chicago. And by Chicago, I am from a suburb about 45 minutes away, Brandon.
Macho Man's from Downers Grove.
I'm very excited about AEW going to the United Center. And correct me if I'm wrong, the last time a wrestling show was at the United Center was WCW. Oh, yeah.
Really?
But, Brandon, my question for you this week, I just want to know, what other
from Chicago. I'd love to see something at Wrigley Field. Yeah. Maybe at Soldier Field. Yeah. Maybe that new stadium they're talking about. How about Yankee Stadium? Yeah, Brandon. I'd love to know your thoughts. And thank you again for taking my voicemail for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. Oh, yeah.
So, great question. First of all, thank you, Joe and Randy, for calling in. Stadiums and arenas that I would love to see. First of all, I didn't know United Center hadn't been run since WCW. That's a fact that you just slipped on me. And shout out to AEW. They're going to be running Arthur Ashe Stadium. So the creativity in getting a tennis stadium like that when nobody has thought to do it in years, fantastic. Wrigley Field, Fenway Park. Imagine the backdrop of Fenway Park. The only problem is if they did Fenway Park, you know Jeff Hardy's diving off the monster. And Fenway just can't be having that. So, you know that, right? Like, if they did Fenway Park, somebody's diving off that monster.
They have to.
You're not keeping them off the monster. There's just no chance.
No.
Somebody's
like
going to get hurt.
Like the Titantron back in the day.
I think it's 34 feet tall. So, yeah, there's that. Fenway. I like the idea of Yankees. Pretty much any baseball. I think baseball stadiums are so underused. You know, Safeco Field in Seattle. It's not called that anymore, but it was then. WrestleMania 19, one of the great backdrops ever. You know, baseball fields have angles and crevices and crannies that the football stadiums don't have, that regular basketball stadiums don't have. Any baseball field, let's see, what did they run? They ran the Astros Stadium for the Rumble a couple of years ago. They ran the Diamondback Stadium. Anytime they're in a baseball stadium, it's just different and beautiful looking. So I would say almost any baseball stadium. Any baseball stadium, just because I don't know how it is for the fans, because I know some seats are going to be further away than they usually are, but the backdrop and the aesthetic is very pleasing to me on TV. So Fenway's one, Wrigley's one, you know, PNC Park with the bridge in the background in Pittsburgh. How about the bay in the background, San Francisco? All those would work for me, brother. Great call. You're one of the best. Probably the best we've ever had. Of course, we used to have a great caller. Hadn't heard from him in a long time. Anyway, voicemail number 8.
Finally. Kalisto guy has come back to voicemail. We have so much to catch up on, Brandon, so let's get into it. 5 weeks ago, I departed on my excursion to Mexico to find Kalisto and get some answers for Lucha Nation. I arrived in Mexico City, and I hit the ground running, starting my research to find Kalisto. So the first thing I did, obviously, pull up Kalisto's Wikipedia to learn a little more about his upbringing.
That's where you start.
This is where things took a bit of a turn. So I went to Kalisto's Wikipedia page, and I found that his birthplace was the Lower West Side of Chicago.
Oh, yes.
So here I was, stranded in Mexico for 4 more weeks. Kalisto's just back in the States. I didn't want to waste this experience, so I decided to make the most out of it. And I didn't need to just connect with Kalisto to strengthen the roots of Lucha Nation. There were others that I could learn from. So for the past 4 weeks, I've been traveling Mexico, learning from legendary luchadors about what makes Lucha Nation so special. I had Modelos in Monterrey with Mil Mascaras. I had Piña Coladas in Puerto Vallarta with La Parca. And I had shots of Reposado in Guadalajara with Dos Caras. And on my last night, I met a mysterious luchador named Juan Cena, who offered me a funny-smelling cigarette.
This podcast was a mistake.
And then all of a sudden, I couldn't see Juan anymore, but I did see a vision. A vision of the legends of Lucha Past came to me. And the legend said, Kalisto guy, Lucha Nation isn't about just one luchador. It's about a movement. It's about family. It's about love. So the next morning, I booked my flight home.
What is
happening? I fired up wrestling to catch up on what I missed. And what do I hear you guys talking about, Brandon? Well, besides you criminally horny with Macho Man closing segment last week, I heard love in your voice. Just like I heard love in your voice from the legends of Lucha's past, I heard you talk about family, getting the whole family back in the fold. And Brandon, when family calls, I always answer. So Wrestling Nation, Lucha Nation, Arya, Brandon, let's let bygones be bygones. I forgive you for trying to dox me and release my phone number to the world. I forgive you for calling my wife ugly and my kids stupid.
I
apologize for my past transgressions, including calling the listeners of this podcast inbred virgins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how long this will last,
yeah, that one,
but
right.
I am declaring this the summer of Lucha love, and everyone is invited, even you, Brandon. Lucha! Lucha! Lucha!
Well, that was an ordeal. That was something. That tugged at the heartstrings. I do love him declaring this the summer of Lucha Love in the middle of August.
it's a very short summer.
Right? It's not going to have much love. We're pretty much saying goodbye to the summer right when we say hello to it. What a journey. What a fucking journey. What a man of character and honor. You know, we might have clashed once or twice. We might have gotten in the squared circle and see who got the better of the other man. But ultimately, it's about respect. It's about the boys in the back, you know. It's about the bonds we make along the way. And if he had to go to Mexico to find that love, if I had to call his wife and kids ugly, which I'm sorry for, out of love, then I think we can all come together. If he can change, if you can change, I can change, we can all change. And this is the summer of Lucha Love. Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. Dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Podcast was entirely a mistake. I love you all, you fucking idiots, you weirdos, you wrestling fans. This is Wrestling.